You are listening to a free version of the Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, January 25th, 2022. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, the United States places 8,500 troops on high alert over potential Russian invasion of Ukraine. Meanwhile, attempts to fashion a Russian sanctions bill stuck on whether to impose them before or after an invasion. Meanwhile, Fulton County, Georgia, judges green light special grand jury for the Donald Trump criminal probe. And a federal court throws out Alabama's congressional map as disadvantaging black voters. Meanwhile, a New York State judge rules that New York governor's indoor mask mandate is invalid. Must be legislated. New report, cash aid to poor mothers increases brain activity in babies. And the World Health Organization suggests that Omicron may lead to an endemic. Maybe. New York Mayor Eric Adams wants to bring back the failed so-called anti-crime units. Joe Biden said, well, I can't say it. Meanwhile, Jessica Cisneros endorsed by the San Antonio Express. And Neil Young tells Spotify it's me or Joe Rogan.
Ooh.
Not me, Sam Steeder. It's Neil Young or Joe Rogan.
That'll probably have more of an impact.
Probably. All this and more on today's Majority Report. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. As you can tell, Emma Vigeland is here.
Hi.
Apparently.
Throwing shots already.
Yeah, already. Already unleashing vitriol. God.
I don't really do this off air. It's just more like, I'd like to humiliate you in front of however many thousands.
I don't find it humiliating. Neil Young is one of America's, you know, well, he's Canadian, but he's one of he is one of our greatest all-time rock and rollers.
Oh yeah.
As it were. And so I'm okay, you know, if he's more important.
It's hard for me to like to categorize Spotify him as a rock and roller, cuz his voice is somewhere in between like a falsetto and a regular tone. There's something whiny about it. I mean, it's great, but it's interesting. I mean, it's like it's folky.
It's a little folky, I guess. But he's, I don't know. I'm a fan. I'm a big fan.
Me too. I like that. What was it? My Hey Hey song. The End of the Block.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's got a lot of great songs actually over the years. Now look, folks. Let me just start off by saying many people listen to this program at work. Many people listen to this program with their kids, maybe pets, too. I want to just give you fair warning. We are going to play a clip right now of something that the president said to Steve Ducey's son.
Beneath the office.
And it was caught on hot mic. Nevertheless, the idea that these words come out of Joe Biden, it's disturbing. So fair warning, I'm going to count to five, give you an opportunity to turn down the sound, and if you have the ability to read lips, to close your eyes. Four.
Prepare yourself.
Three, two, one. Oh. This is a clip from the White House yesterday.
Do That's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid son of a bitch.
Oh, he's never,
I am sorry.
He's never.
I am
more
sorry, ladies and gentlemen, that you had to hear that. It's disturbing.
Every once in a while, Trump would do things. It's like, oh, that's why he won the presidency. Mm-hmm. And I think that's Biden's. Like, oh, yeah, that's why he won. People are ready for that kind of attitude, I think.
I just, like, it is amazing to me, though, like, how that is being treated. I listen to the radio in the morning to hear what AP does at the top and the bottom of the hour.
Not Alex Perrine.
Not Alex.
Not
Green.
The real AP.
Not the real AP.
The secondary.
The AP
one.
Radio, yeah. Kind of things, and they literally were like, the president said a swear word, and he said, "You blank son of a blank," and I was like, "Oh, seriously?" Like, I am prudish when it comes to language, but son of a bitch. Seriously?
You Wait. Can say bitch on, like, and ass. Those are the two
also
things that
dumb.
Are acceptable, right? On
they said blank
TV?
Son of a blank?
I yeah. think so.
You can say damn. Jeez.
I mean, the last president said shit countries. Like, everybody was saying that. Like, it was... I don't know what it
was tough for, like, places like the New York Times that have rules against printing that stuff. I mean...
I guess.
Why, though? I mean, have we not evolved beyond... This is not the point of this story, but have we not evolved beyond the, like, pearl-clutching over swear words?
Yeah, we have, but, like, the age of people that listen to NPR and read the New York Times, like, I don't think...
To me, that's insane.
Son
to
of
me.
A bitch! I mean, I get it. If somebody was to say, like, they were bodily part and maybe, like, you know, being, like, very explicit
right.
or something, but son of a bitch!
Also, I think when the president says it, it's printable.
I mean, it's almost
newsworthy.
Like it's...
He's not a deity. He's not Jesus Christ or
it's
Mary Magdalene.
It is just infantilizing.
I mean, but the idea, yes. Like, have you ever seen an R-rated movie? Give me a break.
But hold on, because Sean Hannity was on the story. Oh. Let's check this out. Sean Hannity covered this pretty well. This is Peter Doocy brought immediately to the Hannity zone.
I'm surprised he didn't have to go to the emergency room first.
Well, maybe there was some time where he probably recovered. Let's watch.
We have some news tonight. After years of clips of the president and I kind of mixing it up on the campaign trail and during the transition and here at the White House, within about an hour of that exchange, he called my cell phone and he said, "It's nothing personal, pal." And we went back and forth and we were talking about just kind of moving,
release the
moving
tape.
Forward.
Release
and
the
I
tape.
Made sure to tell him that I'm always going to try to ask something different than what everybody else is asking. And he said, "You've got to." And that's a quote from the president, so I'll keep doing it.
All right, I want to be your negotiator here. And I would like to negotiate a 20-minute sit-down with you and Biden, one-on-one. I think that would be, you know, I'm a Christian, I believe, in forgiveness.
Okay. Biden called Doocy calling blow-up.
He cleared the air, and I appreciated it. We had a nice call.
That's not an answer. Did he apologize? That doesn't sound like an apology.
He said, "It's nothing personal, pal." Oh, and I told him that I appreciated him reaching out. Hey, Sean, the world is on the brink of, like, World War III right now.
Yeah, I get
with
it.
All this stuff going on. I appreciate that the president took a couple minutes out this evening while he was still at the desk to give me a call and clear the air.
At least he called you pal.
But you know what? I don't need anybody to apologize to me. He can call me whatever he wants.
All right.
God, it's just, he's loving it.
Oh, my God.
Moment in the sun.
This
right?
is fantastic.
Finally, I'm not Steve Doocy's kid anymore. I'm that stupid son of a bitch.
Oh, my
Goddamn,
God.
Goddamn, yeah, whatever.
I'm not, sorry, Dad. I'm no longer in your shadow. I'm happy for you.
This is just like when Trump kicked the Univision reporter out.
Right, exactly. It's unbelievable how we've reverted. And then, of course, you know, He's going to be able to. Imagine if Joe Biden said at one of his rallies, "Beat him up. I got you covered." Like, remember that?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just it's just unbelievable. We have no capacity in this country to retain any information as a collective body in our mind. You know, as a collective body in our minds for more than like 6 minutes. It seems like
it's from poo?
It's amazing. It's amazing. Folks, one more day. Not even one more day, actually. Actually, 12 more hours. What am I talking about? All Zebedee tinctures at Sunset Lake Zebedee are available at 30% off. The 750, the 1500, and the 3000 milligram tinctures we know and love will now be available in mint and citrus. Now is the time to try these, dudes. If you enjoy the natural unflavored tinctures, still available. Also, 30% off. I've told you I am partial to the natural and now the mint. Hmm. In fact, I got a really great night's sleep last night. And I think in part was because of my 6,000 milligram tincture.
Huh?
I don't know what it was. I decided, like, I'm going to bed before 11.
Wow.
For the first time ever. And I told Mile Eyes, it's, you know, be quiet. I'm going to bed. Anyways. And so I'm like, I feel like I'm got a little more energy today. They also have this new product, like I say, the 6,000 milligram. It is a full spectrum tincture. It is made with purified CBD distillate. The 6,000 milligram tincture is the most powerful product Sunset Lake Zebedee has ever produced. Single dropper holds 100 milligram of Zebedee. It doesn't matter when it starts because it ends today, tonight at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. 30% off. Orders over $100 will receive a free 750 milligram tincture. That's a $30 value for free. You do not need a promo code. So the normal promo code, which you know, all my papers just fell, is left is best, which gives you 20% off at sunsetlakesabaday.com. You don't need that for the tinctures. It will come off automatically. So check it out. I don't know if I need those papers.
I see one.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's all dropping. So check it out. SunsetLakeSabaday.com. No, not those. Those were just, that's, don't worry about that.
That's just another pile.
That's a separate pile that I don't need.
You have a system.
I have a system. Also, I just wanted to plug this. The letter hack. I guess it was on Kickstarter or Indiegogo. I can't remember.
Whoa!
But I support this. I got my copy. I have not read it yet. I just got it yesterday, and it's the letter hack. It's the I mean, just
show the inside really quick.
It really is gorgeous.
Wow!
It is gorgeous. I mean, I don't know the story yet. I haven't read it, but it is a milagro.
Looks like a Kickstarter.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a Kickstarter. I think you can get it there or. Well, check out there and see if you can find it. Letter Hack, of course, who does some great animations of folks on this program. But awesome. I have my digital copy, too, I think, too. So that's good. All right. Let's get back to it. This is, you know, we just got a first IM of the day was a Green New Deal. Do you support Ukraine and Taiwan, even if you were against NATO and World War III? Yes, I am against World War III. I believe that NATO should not be expanding. In fact, I am, probably fall on the side of wondering what is the value of NATO at this point.
Well, the value is for things like this.
I guess so. But I don't know that that's terribly valuable.
I agree. Yeah.
In my estimation. I think it's just momentum or something. But yes, I believe that we should support Ukraine as much as we can without getting involved in a war. And same with Taiwan. And... right now, Apparently, the Pentagon has put 8,500 troops on high alert. It's supposedly a designation, is my understanding, that they could reach there within a five-day period of time. Now, my understanding is also that we have the ability to mobilize 8,500 troops within closer to 24 hours.
And let's be real, we probably already have undercover ops there as we speak.
I would imagine. And but the point is to project to Russia that we are serious. And I don't mind, you know, some posturing, but and I imagine also there are other countries that are concerned about not necessarily even Ukraine, other former Soviet Union, Soviet countries that that are concerned about their ability to protect themselves or their ability to secure their borders or whatever it is. All well and good, but we should not be engaging in a war over this. However, I do think it's appropriate that we're lining up sanctions. And the interesting thing is there's a big debate right now. It's an attempt, obviously. The Senate does not have the ability to pass any sanctions without 10 Republicans. The, I guess, Menendez.
Yeah, it's he's drafting a mother of all sanctions bill with, I think, 7 other senators, 4 Republicans, 4 Democrats. I'm not in favor of sanctions on the Russian people. I mean, I think you can do things like target specific oligarchs or government officials' accounts overseas. But with Russia, I mean, I don't know how much of an effect that's going to have because it's already been... I feel like that's already been sort of the United States' posture for a while.
I would freeze anybody who can afford an apartment in New York from Russia. Your assets are going to get frozen in this instance. Like, it puts pressure on the Putin government. But it's what's fascinating is that apparently they're the trouble they're having enlisting Republicans here is that they want some penalties imposed before the invasion or any invasion which take place rather than after the fact, which is not necessarily a way of dissuading someone from invading a place, right? I mean, if I...
You're hitting them with the stick as opposed to dangling a carrot.
Well, no, it's one thing if I say to you, if you take my coffee, I'm going to hit you with a stick. It's another if I hit you with a stick and then say, "Don't take my coffee," or I may hit you with a stick again. I mean, it doesn't quite have the same.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
It doesn't have quite the same impact, and that is because they represent, I think, oil interests that want to scuttle Nord Stream.
They also represent weapons manufacturers who are gleeful about any kind of escalation, especially if it involves NATO. Even though Ukraine isn't a part of NATO, they're just for some reason a proxy member, and so then you get to a lot of arms sales if these tensions escalate.
It's fascinating. So you're having to negotiate with the Republicans to actually have to impose. I mean, this is to impose the threat of sanctions, right? It's to give the president the authority to impose these sanctions after the fact. In other words, don't invade Ukraine, and we will not invoke these sanctions. But the Republicans they're negotiating with are saying, no, 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 you should do the sanctions now. And of course, we all know this is because of Russiagate. That's why the Republicans want to sanction the Russians now, and the Democrats do not. Anyways, but that's where we're at this point. And so hopefully, the Senate can agree on some sanctions that would take place in the event that there is an invasion, and the and hopefully the Biden administration can offer at least enough of a, if not a commitment, but at least enough of an indication that there is no U.S. intention or NATO intention of expanding and admitting Ukraine. That seems to me to be the best case scenario here. So we'll see.
If we target the sanctions, I mean, I have little faith that that happens. 95% of the time, any sanctions the United States imposes falls on the feet of the people, not on the government officials making these decisions.
Yeah, I don't really trust Blinken to do this delicately.
Well, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I can't imagine there's really many people who want to get involved in a ground war over Ukraine in the U.S. government. But there's also just sort of like this you know, I don't know, ridiculous sort of legacy. We're led by such ossified leadership at these days that, you know, some of this stuff is sort of knee-jerk and instinctive, and it's terrifying. But I can't imagine that the Europeans are terribly excited about some type of war with Ukraine either. So hope springs eternal. We'll see. The story out of Georgia, and we're not going to see any type of, it seems to me, I mean, it's, I guess it's conceivable at this point, although, you know, and maybe we'll talk about this with Nomi in the fun half of the show.
Alabama or Georgia?
Well,
gotcha.
I was talking about, I was talking about the, in Alabama, the, but I saw Fulton because that's where we're getting the investigation. But Fulton, of course, was the county, was what ultimately the court case that sunk Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. And to see judges on their own determine that essentially you've racially gerrymandered in these states which were released from their pre-clearance provisions of under Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, where they would have to go to the DOJ and prove that because of their history of racist disenfranchisement of voters, they'd have to prove that any changes to their elections processes or their redistricting was not racially biased. Now, in North Carolina, judges reversed because racially biased. In Ohio, I think that just happened as well. There's more cases still winding around in North Carolina, and now it's happened in Alabama. A panel of three judges threw out Alabama's congressional map on Monday, ordered state lawmakers to draw a new one with two rather than just one district that are likely to elect black representatives. You have a population of 27, one quarter of the state is black in Alabama. They have seven congressional districts. They have been drawn in such a way so that the vast majority of black people are just in one district. I don't have a picture of the districts, but one can imagine what these look like. Like maybe some type of like...
Bradley, do you think you can find that?
Yeah.
I bet you they're pretty like just bizarre looking.
Impressionistic.
Yes.
Potentially.
Alabama legislators have 14 days to produce a new map with a second majority black district. I mean, this is how you redistrict, right? And you do this by making one district full of either Democrats or Republicans. Maybe if you think that maybe black people are going to vote against you, then you put all the black people into one district. And how do you do that? Well, they live in disparate parts of, well, I just draw the district like this and like this, and that's the district. And they're saying there should be two districts with the majority black population. And because essentially you are denying, according to the judges, equal representation for black people in that instance.
Here we go.
Yeah, I mean, these bizarre, like, fun. Yeah, these votes. So, and which one? Go back to the full tweet so I can get a sense of.
Or it says right here, yeah.
The GOP passed Alabama map, keeps black voters packed in just one district. That is Alabama 07 on the left. Which one is 07? The brown. The brown one. And look at the size of that district as you I pull out. Yeah, I mean, it's... yeah.
Yeah.
And so...
So you just make it include that urban area on the top horn there, which is what they did. You see that 6 and 7?
Yes. Yeah. The one right up at the tip there.
Yeah, so it's like all the rural area and then that...
Then you all of a sudden just urban. Sort of like, oh! And to be clear here, too, obviously, like, the concerns of people living in a city and the concerns of people living in the country aren't necessarily the same. But that's what they wanted to do there. That's what they did.
And that's what makes efforts like what we saw, I think, in Illinois recently, where Democrats are fighting fire with fire, honestly, and fighting back and doing their own, drawing their own district lines. It makes it even more important because if you can't just because we're against gerrymandering on principle doesn't mean you unilaterally disarm. Because,
and let's be clear, yeah. It is illegal in this country to gerrymander that creates a racial disparity. It is not illegal to gerrymander for the sake of politics. Now, the Supreme Court at one point, when Anthony Kennedy was on there, Anthony Kennedy said, like, if you can come up with a way in which determining that something's been overly gerrymandered, tell me. And I will get into that gerrymandering. And in fact, social scientists did. They came out with an idea, a concept of excess votes that allowed you to determine at least set a metric. How gerrymandered is this district? Well, essentially, there are X amount of excess votes over a threshold in which over 51%. And so if you have a district where someone's going to win 90% to 10, and then you have other districts where it's like 51 to 49% in all the other districts, this is just an example, an extreme example. Social scientists would say, like, well, there's one where there's clearly people have been corralled into one district to eliminate the votes that could be dispersed out.
Yeah.
This three-judge panel was made up of, it's a federal district court. Two of them were appointed by Donald Trump, one by Bill Clinton. Gives you a sense of just how obvious this is. And this is probably going to go to the Supreme Court. We will see. The Supreme Court, like I say, ruled that federal courts have no role to play in blocking partisan gerrymanders in 2019 after Anthony Kennedy was gone. He waited. They didn't take the case while he was there, punted, and that was it.
And this also affects state races as well. I mean, that's key too. When state legislatures are drawing maps, they're also sometimes drawing things. This fight's happening in Pennsylvania right now. The Republican legislature is trying to draw these maps that are in their favor, and a Democratic representative was working with them to ensure a more favorable...
Oh, yeah. The trade-off is always like, well, as long as you give me a majority, power, I'm okay. And, you know, this is why you're starting to see, you know, why this federal voting legislation is so important. The biggest part is to reinstate the Voting Rights Act, which has been hacked away by the Supreme Court. Probably not going to happen. So there's that. Also, in the news today, the World Health Organization is arguing that Omicron may provide some stabilization and normalization in the wake. I mean, we were talking about this a couple of months ago, actually. It's possible. It's possible. Hope springs eternal again. That because we have had so many infections from Omicron in this country, and this is also the case in Europe, the week of January 18th, approximately 1 million children in this country infected with COVID. We've had millions of cases. We're over, 2,000 people dying a day in this country from COVID. And just a reminder, the trajectory of this country was completely altered. We killed, depending on whose numbers you want to use, hundreds of thousands to a million people. We created millions of refugees, spent trillions of dollars, because we were attacked on 9/11 and over 3,000 people died. We're losing over 2,000 people a day to COVID. Just to put it into some type of perspective there. Obviously, COVID and terrorism are not the same things. But in terms of human life, that's what we're dealing with.
And in terms of reaction.
In terms of the reaction. And
the cognitive dissonance, I mean, that one can, like, when the dead bodies are piling up in hospitals and our healthcare workers and nurses have to bear the brunt of it, you know, people are a little bit more okay with it.
I mean, the most raw deaths recorded worldwide, and not a great per capita numbers either.
In America. Yeah. And, peace out today in Ceylon. And you'll recall that Mark Allen Derry, epidemiologist, runs the biggest Medicaid provider in Louisiana, had said that he was looking at, from what they have observed down there, and there's no hard data on this yet, that long COVID takes place in anywhere from 10 to 15% of the cases. And Ceylon, there was a piece just the other day, I guess it was 2 or 3 days ago, that suggests 10% of children with COVID-19 become long haulers. That can last, you know, generally 6 months. Some go much longer than that. It can involve a wide range of stuff. There are different studies about long COVID that range from essentially 1% to 66%. In the piece, they say there's growing consensus that somewhere around 10% of COVID-19 cases in kids turn into long COVID. So in this country, if that is the case, in the week of January 18th ending, you will have approximately 100,000 kids under the age of, 17, who will have long COVID from anywhere from, you know, months. I mean, sometimes it could go longer than 6 months. That's a lot of kids in that week. The Israeli Health Ministry announced results of a survey showing that 11.2% of kids reported symptoms of long COVID. In the UK, the Office for National Statistics estimated that 12.9% of children 2 to 11 years of age and 14.5% of children 12 to 16 years old still experience symptoms 5 weeks after infection. There's some speculation that the reason why it's higher for kids 12 to 16 is that they can express that they have symptoms mm-hmm. better than, let's say, a child who's 2 or 3 or 4 or 5
right.
or 6. One of those doctors said, I suspect it'll end up being about 10%. Dr. Alexander Yontz, director of the post-COVID program at the Children's National Hospital in Washington, D.C., said, based on her knowledge thus far, that yes, as many as 10% of all pediatric COVID cases turn into long COVID. My best guess is 10 to 20%. says Dr. Sindhu Mohandas, pediatric infectious disease specialist at Children's Hospital, Los Angeles. Now, all of these doctors are, of course, in the pockets of big medicine and big COVID.
And big Fauci, right?
And big Fauci.
He looms over all of this.
Yeah.
Small man casts a large shadow.
One in Washington, D.C. One in L.A. The Israeli Ministry of Health. The U.K. Office for National Statistics. They all are in big Fauci's pocket. And that's why you get these numbers. The American Academy of Pediatrics reported that more than 981,000 new COVID cases confirmed in children in the United States during the week of January 13th. Obviously in big Fauci's pocket. Dr. Moshe Ashkenazi, director of the new ward specifically for pediatric Omicron patients in Israel, told the Times of Israel, from previous waves, we believe 7% to 10% develop long COVID. But with Omicron, the numbers being infected are so high that if even just 1% of infected children get long COVID, it'll cause more pediatric long COVID cases than Delta. Again, mouthpiece for Fauci. Fauci speaks many, many, many languages.
You have to if you're a globalist.
Yep. So just to give you a sense of the implications of COVID beyond the fact that we have a couple of thousand people a day dying. And I say that as a just a prelude to and there's actually some very good writing. Hopefully we'll have Alex Perrin on this week. He wrote a great piece about this, but I've seen some others basically saying, like, you hear all these people complaining about how much they're having to give up for COVID, as if COVID is listening.
As if everything's not open right now. As if bars, as if restaurants, as if gyms, as if concerts, as if sports events aren't all open right now.
Everything is open. Everything is open.
And we're in New York, and everything's open.
Yeah. And everything is open. But people are talking as if, like, COVID, like, here is Barry Weiss on with Bill Maher. And it's amazing, like, you know.
In California, where everything is also open. Where everything is also open. Sorry, Matt.
Here's just going to say these are two people of the left, supposedly.
Yes. Yes, here we go.
I'm done.
With this question?
No, I'm done with COVID. I'm done. I went so hard on COVID.
I sprayed
the Pringles cans that I bought at the grocery store, stripped my clothes off because I thought COVID would be on my clothes. Like, I did it all. I watched Tiger King. I got to the end of Spotify. Like, we all did it, right?
Here's the thing. A lot of us did do it.
And then we were told, you get the vaccine. You get the vaccine and you get that.
Pause it for 1 second. I mean, just think about it like this. Like, this is honestly the type of conversations I have with my 8-year-old son. You told me that we were going to go to, we were going to go skating today. I'm sorry. The ice skating rink is not open today. They've got another function. But you told me that we were going ice skating. You promised. Yeah. You lied to me. Well, no, I didn't lie to you. I thought we were going to be able to go, but it turns out that they have ice skating. They have hockey practice at this time. You lied to me. I mean, this is what she sounds like.
It's a mix of that, and it's a mix of every, like, rich, pretentious person, if you've ever met them at a cocktail party, too, right? Like, the concept of her doing COVID, or whatever she describes it as, is her having to wipe down her Pringles cans and watch Tiger King. A reminder of the ramifications of COVID, as opposed to, like, you having to watch Netflix and washing your groceries for the first month of the pandemic. The frontline workers who are most affected by this, they're the ones doing COVID. The people who actually have to treat COVID patients, the cancer patients whose hospital beds are taken up because there are so many COVID patients, the nurses that have to deal with it, the people who are working at McDonald's or whatever food store that you buy your food from, they're the ones doing COVID.
Parents
not
having
Barry
to figure
Weiss.
Out how they're going to take care of their kids when they've got to go in for work. Parents who've got to deal with their kids who lose their parents.
We have hundreds more orphans of thousands in this country than yes.
I said this yesterday. I said I'm so done with COVID people. And some guy responded to me, an adult, I presume, but like, do you want me to wear a mask forever? And it's like, how about just when there's a pandemic, like putting the hospitals under strain, you fucking baby.
Oh my God. Meanwhile, she's sitting on a TV set 4 feet away from somebody as if like you could look at this from the last time she was on this show. Which I don't know, as far as I know, was last week. I don't watch Bill Maher. She could be on every week, as far as I know. And there is no difference. There is no discernible. Oh, I had to wear a mask on the airplane out here in first class. It was so difficult. Or I had to take a test. I had to take a test. I had to stick something up my nose. Is there any more to this?
Yeah.
Yeah, you keep playing.
Aggrievement continues for this wealthy woman who went to an Ivy League school and then was on the New York Times. She's the victim.
A lot of us did do it. And then we were told, you get the vaccine.
We were told.
You get the vaccine and you get back to normal. And we haven't gotten back to normal. Oh. And it's ridiculous at this point.
I want to return society.
The biological data broke its promise to me.
Can I return society? Can I see the manager, please?
I mean, we've returned evictions. We've ended the pandemic unemployment. Like, a lot of things are getting back
to normal.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Yep.
All right.
No unemployment benefits for people. No more earned income tax credits for people. No more stimulus. Nope. I'm just so oppressed by the fact that they're giving out free masks now.
This is all just Koch brothers boss propaganda, and it's amazing to me how people can't see through it.
Yep. Keep on, keep going.
Oh, and Bill Maher's eating it up.
Are with me on this, and they do not want to say it out loud because they are scared to be called anti-vax or to be called science denial or to be, you know, smeared as a Trumper. I'm sorry, if you believe the science, you will look at the data that we did not have 2 years ago, and you will find out that cloth masks do not do anything. You will realize that you can show vaccine passport.
She's a freaking liar. Cloth masks don't help as much as N95s or KN95s or KF94s, and different types of cloth help more or less. But if I've got to go into a space for 5 minutes, if I've got to run in to the supermarket or into the drugstore or whatever it is.
I mean, I walk to work with my cloth mask.
And if somebody's wearing the cloth mask and I'm wearing the cloth mask and they've been wearing it in that space and I've been wearing it in that space, I get about 5 minutes that I wouldn't otherwise have. So she's lying. But continue. I mean, with it whining about this. You know what? Like, you know, doctor, you told me that it would take me 6 weeks to recover, but it only took me 4 weeks to recover. I want money back.
And you know also what cloth masks can do, too, is limit the viral load. So if like there's
stupid.
If you want to get if you do get COVID and it's going to be a cold like they keep saying it is, which for a lot of people, of course, it's not 2,000 deaths a day. A cloth mask can mitigate that as well.
But it's also like at the time, like I'm mad that the science that they didn't have enough data. I've been cheated. Like this is like a baby.
Why didn't the scientists go force the Chicago teachers back into the classrooms? Like, what are we talking about? What actually happened that these people are mad at? They've gotten everything they've wanted, except like we still have to like wear masks occasionally.
Yeah,
it's just unbelievable. And you know what?
Broadway play. She could do whatever she wants. There's no limitations in this country right now. This isn't another. Other nations have, you know what? China's zero COVID policy.
I want 5,000 people dying a day before I feel like I'm free. Continue.
At this point, I know that so many of my liberal and progressive friends are with me on this, and they do not want to say it out loud because they are scared to be called anti-vax or to be called science denial or to be, you know, smeared as a Trumper. I'm sorry, if you believe the science, you will look at the data that we did not have 2 years ago, and you will find out that cloth masks do not do anything. You will realize that you can show your vaccine passport at a restaurant. and still be asymptomatic and carrying Omicron. And you will realize, most importantly, that this is going to be remembered by the younger generation as a catastrophic moral crime. The city, which is 80%, I think, minority students, has just announced indefinite virtual schooling. In the past 2 years, we've seen among young girls a 51% increase in self-harm. People are killing themselves.
Self-harm?
They're anxious. They are depressed. They are lonely. That is why we need to end it more than any inconvenience that it's been.
We need to end it?
It's a pandemic of bureaucracy. It's not real anymore.
Let's not forget. Oh my God. You know what I?
What is Don Lemon doing there, just sitting there as she goes past?
You know what I find amazing about this?
Oh, sorry, that's not him. I only saw the recording. I didn't know.
You know what I find amazing about this? It is the first time that Barry Weiss is ignoring the official line out of Israel in the history of her writing anything.
Because, you know, that's why Eric Weinstein hasn't followed Brett, is because he's like, Israel's really taking this seriously, and they wouldn't do that if they weren't.
Exactly, exactly, right? Like you don't hear the right-wingers citing Israel anymore, because they're on their fourth booster shot, incidentally. It is literally the first time that she has not been, like, citing statistics from Israel, probably since she started to write. Unbelievable.
Also, when she says her progressive and liberal friends, let's be real about who those friends are. It's just another bunch of rich people.
I wonder if she knows anybody with kids.
Yeah.
But she's so worried about the kids. I'm so worried about the kids. I'm so worried about the kids. Not so much of the 10%, the 100,000 that got long COVID last week. Last week!
Also, what does she want to do for Flint? Does she want to, like, you know, give a bunch of federal funding to these schools in addition to Flint that are all, like, really struggling?
How many articles did she write when she was at the New York Times? In the most prominent editorial platform maybe in the world. How many articles did she write about the mercury poisoning? The lead poisoning. You literally had a massive jump in special needs requirements at schools in Flint because of the lead poisoning of those kids. How many of her articles were dedicated to that? But now all of a sudden she's worried about the kids.
And that's all these people, by the way. They find something like, look at me, this is my concern. No, it's not. You're using it as a rhetorical question.
Yeah, I'm going to use the kids as a bludgeon to basically kill other people. It really is disgusting. It's disgusting.
And it's way outside the IDW, too. There's all sorts of people going in for this line these days.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's everywhere. It's all these really thoughtful people.
Door.
Well, we could just go right through it right here. Let's start with Ben Shapiro.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Shapiro, also probably the first time he's ever not cited Israel's practices without without putting them paramount, their perspective on something. Here he is. He is now also remember he was against the testing mandate that the Biden administration put out for companies of more than 100 people. You either test everyone with an exemption if they're vaccinated. Frankly, I would have been okay with, you got to test everybody too. But just how about a testing mandate, period? No exemptions. But that was too expensive for companies to do. That's basically what it came down to. Here is Ben Shapiro. Is he in office? Where is he? Oh, he's traveling. Yeah, he's here we go. I'm in an executive suite.
He's on the road.
If you are staying home because you were, quote unquote, near somebody who tested positive for COVID, I don't know why you're even testing. If you're asymptomatic, you should not be testing at this point. Bottom line is this. If you are sick, then you should probably stay home. When I say probably, I got to be honest with you. I don't know why. Like, I really don't know why. Like, unless you are seriously ill, I don't understand why you would stay home at a point when everyone will get Omicron. Everyone. Hey, you staying home is not going to prevent your friends from getting Omicron because they all have Omicron because everyone is positive for Omicron.
Pause it for 1 second. Pause it for 1 second. When was this done? Monday? Yesterday? Put up the graph of Omicron infections in this country. Now, this is something that everyone predicted a month or two ago. I thought we would hit the peak on January 16th. When I canceled the show or postponed the show, I was like, that's probably going to be the peak. It is starting to drop. Now, everyone is not going to get Omicron. Granted, a million kids got it the week of January 18th. We know data suggests 10% of them will get long-haul COVID. Some percentage will die. Over 2,000 people dying a day in this country. Over 2,000 people a day. And this guy is saying, I don't even know if you should stay home if you've got symptoms. If you're sick.
Everyone's going to get it. As if, like, maybe spreading out how fast people do get it is maybe helpful for, like, how the kind of care they get in the hospital, for instance.
There are plenty of stories of people who have been turned away from hospitals, people who have died because they could not get care for other ailments because the hospitals have been filled up. The cost of getting tested now for the individual is zero for your first four tests now because the government will send you four tests.
Well, they don't like that either.
COVIDtest.org.
That's the tyranny taxpayer of big money. Government, yeah.
Let's play this. I don't know why you would stay home if you're sick. I don't know why you would stay home, he says.
Just go give it to people because everyone's going to get it. That's his literal advice. That's what
they're
he said.
They're back there. To herd immunity. Yep. They've got no other. They've got nothing else in their quiver.
I wonder if his family has caught it. Has his kids gotten COVID? Maybe he should take them to a COVID party. Maybe he should take the whole family. See if he can get into a COVID wing. And just, you know, walk around. Do some candy striping in the hospital without a mask on.
Everyone's going to
get it. Why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't the Daily Wire do a nice little short docu-video of the Shapiro family going bed to bed to COVID patients, giving them all a kiss. Kiss on the cheek, kiss on the lips, just a hello. Like a little COVID party.
I like the idea of Ben Shapiro candy striping.
Let's put the keep going. Let's see where he's going with this.
I don't understand why you would stay home at a point when everyone will get Omicron. Everyone. Hey, you staying home is not going to prevent your friends from getting Omicron because they all have Omicron because everyone is positive for Omicron at this point. So you don't stay home with a cold. You don't stay home when you have like a mild virus. Yeah, but somehow this, which now acts like a mild virus, yeah, post-vaccination.
I don't know if Ben Shapiro has any kids, but you are told to keep your kids at home if they have a fever. And in fact, the younger kids, they say, you know, 24 hours until the fever clears. They don't want people coming in with colds. But put
frankly,
that aside.
People should be more concerned about going to work in the future. Hopefully COVID teaches people like, hey, you're sick. Maybe don't go into work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why this boss class propaganda is an overdrive to stop that lesson from being learned.
Right. Because if you start having people stay home from work, we're going to have to start offering paid sick days.
And
we cannot do that. We cannot do that under any circumstance. If you are sick, you go into work. That's the American way. And if you handle food, even better. Go ahead.
And is way less deadly than Delta, even without vaccination. And certainly if you have natural immunity, which, again, has now been proved to be more durable than vaccine immunity. If you have all those things, then I'm not sure why we are still acting as though staying home is inevitably the proper strategy here. And in fact, it isn't the proper strategy when it comes to healthcare. Hey, in our places with the most vulnerable people, hospitals are now calling COVID positive people back into work.
And? My strategy is to go in and spread as much COVID as I can. That's my strategy. That's the way I'm going.
By the way, you know that you staying home isn't going to give all your friends COVID. I had Omicron. Did you have Omicron, Sam?
I did not.
Emma, did you?
No.
How about you, Bradley?
Well, that means that we're not friends.
That's because
we're merely colleagues.
Excitement on our friendship. Yep.
I mean, I gotta say, like, Matt is close enough that I could almost touch him at this point, and I have not gotten Omicron.
I could spit a watermelon seed at Sam.
That's right. That's what we do when we're having fun at the breaks. just so despicable. And understand, like, they are doing this for exactly the reason that Matt says. Because you don't want the American population to realize that, hey, wait a second. This is not the way that you organize a society.
Well, didn't he kind of give it away at the end, though, too? He said something about, what did he say at the end there? About, you know, they're bringing COVID-positive people back to work, and he's saying that as if that's an aspirational...
Right.
An aspirational way for society to conduct itself.
And not a sign that we went through all of the guardrails that we should have, like, slowed society down, like maybe, you know, close bars and stuff, so that hospitals don't get overwhelmed, so you have to bring back sick nurses to treat COVID patients.
And the amazing thing about this, and we're decimating our healthcare system, too, incidentally. Decimating, like, healthcare workers is so just completely exhausted and worn out. But the amazing thing about this at the end of it is, like, there's been no, like, Ben Shapiro's life is in no way inhibited. He doesn't like other people taking it seriously. That's what this is about. It's really inconvenient to me to walk around in a society where other people are taking this pandemic seriously. It makes me feel bad about myself. It makes me have to justify myself to my workers. Because I look in their faces and I wonder, is there one of them there that's worried about getting COVID? Is there one of them, as I look out on the sea of people at Daily Wire, is there one of them going, like, hey, I hope my mom doesn't get COVID. I've got to go help her, you know, move in tomorrow. Or I've got to go help her do, you know, buy her groceries. I don't like that feeling. It's inconvenient to me. And so we must all pretend like the pandemic doesn't exist. And again, reminder, it's not just the liberals who are doing this. It is around the world they seem to be taking it seriously. The communists seem to be taking it pretty seriously.
Yeah, I mean, part of the reason China's allowed basically to do a non-mandatory vaccine protocol is because they have so many extreme measures for when just automatic things that kick in when a spread reaches a certain point, which is what ours should be too.
Yep. Yep. All right. Let's just do this one by Jimmy Dore, who's also now Jimmy Dore will have you believe now that because there is this problem, right? 2,000 people dying a day, over 800,000 people died in this country so far. Over the course of not quite 2 years yet. And when you try and say, like, this is all just liberals trying to be, you know, authoritarian.
Fear-mongering for pharma.
Fear-mongering for big pharma. You have this little problem about the hundreds of thousands of people who have died. The orphans, the people who have lost their parents, the long COVID. So what do you do? Well, you try and say, well, actually, that's not even real. And how do you say that's not real? Well, if you're Jimmy Dore, you just wait until you can find a video that somebody tells you it's not real. Here is Jimmy Dore making a video about somebody else who made a video saying that it's not real, but it's not actually even, the person's not even saying that. But go ahead.
What is the death rate of COVID? What is the death rate of COVID? We've tried to figure it out here. You know, we've done two videos on it so far, and nobody knows.
Pause it. We've done two videos on this so far. We can't figure out what the death rate is.
We've done two videos. We fired one producer, and we can't get to the bottom of it.
We can't get to the bottom of it. I don't understand. Here we go. Keep playing this. I'm going to be so happy with myself after I found a video that's going to tell me what the real
carry
death
the
is.
One. Carry the
you
one.
You know what's amazing, too, about this? You're going to see that, like, he doesn't even do any work off of this video.
The research research process is the video, the shooting of the video. Not before, but not after.
But it's not even about the United States. It's about the UK. And he doesn't even take the time to actually do the math to figure out what it would be here. But hey, go ahead. I'm really excited about this.
Well, I think a lot of people know, but they're not telling us what the real COVID death rate is. Well, our friend, Dr. John Campbell, over across the pond in the UK, they did a freedom of information request for the in the UK from the British government or England government or UK government.
They have that also, the Freedom of Information Act in the UK.
Yeah, I didn't know. Right? This is when I found out about it through this. So let's watch. Wow, John Campbell is going to tell you what the real death rate is in the UK, and the answer is going to surprise you. Here we go.
Well, welcome to today's talk. It's Thursday, the 20th of January. Now, there's been an awful lot of debate about deaths in this pandemic. And there's a new Freedom of Information request release from the United Kingdom that shows the number of deaths actually solely attributable to COVID may be way lower than anyone had thought.
What?
And if this data applies to the UK, I'm sure it applies to the United States, Canada, huh? European countries, all the
others.
Are
you a doctor?
Are you a doctor?
He's no Tony Science.
So you mean all the stuff that they've been saying for 2 years straight about the death rate has been bullshit? Well, let's find out. I don't know.
Find out. We can't find out.
Advanced economy countries, it will also apply to, I would imagine. Now, it's interesting. Let's look at it. So here we have, this is the 30th of March 2020 to the 7th of January 2022. In other words, this is basically from, this is the time of the pandemic when people have been dying up to the 7th of January. Office of National Statistics, obviously, it's a couple of weeks behind, but it's not bad. 127,704 excess deaths above the 5-year average.
So do you understand what that means? So the normal death rate, they had an excess of 127,704 extra deaths that were over the average normal death rate. And people attribute that to COVID. So that's what he's saying there. You see that? Okay, just want to make sure.
We have often thought that this is perhaps the most accurate way to look at deaths. Not so much who died from what, when, but how many more people have died than we would expect. The difference being, of course, we've been living through this pandemic. So that's probably a pretty good indicator. But this next one here, official data. Now, this is deaths within 28 days of a positive test. Now, this is data as of the 19th of January. So it's yesterday, always up to date, a day late. Well, it's a day late. It's now the 20th. This is up to date as of the 19th. Death within 28 days of a positive test, 359 daily deaths, which is good to see that's come down a bit lately, and 152,872 total deaths. So we have one figure for the total deaths there. 127,000. We have another figure for the total deaths there within 28 days of a positive test, 152,872. And then where COVID-19 is mentioned on the death certificate as a contributory factor to death, 174,000.
Did you see that? Do you see that sleight of hand? It went from 120-some thousand, then it went to 152, and now the official number is 174,000 deaths. Those are three totally different numbers.
Now let's pause it for one second. Let's just stop and think for a moment.
We're Jimmy doing Dore's, a video so we can do the
Jimmy
research.
Dore's friend across the pond
says that there are only 130,000, 127,000 excess deaths over the course of those 2 years, but the COVID numbers are at 174,000. Now, he's claiming there that there are about 45,000 extra deaths. One third is inflated. So let's just assume for a moment that one third of the U.S. deaths are inflated. That would mean 600,000 people died. That's assuming the same rate there. Now, what also happened in England for an extended period of time and also happened in this country? There was a lockdown. Less people driving, less people going to work. Still, actually, far less people commuting, probably. Maybe car deaths are down. Maybe other deaths are down. That could contribute to work into... But I didn't see a video on that, so I can't... It's not real. But here's the next thing, too. They're going to get rid of all the deaths because it's going to be people... have comorbidities. Let it go for just a little bit more.
We've already got three different figures, but now we've got a fourth, and this fourth figure is just a little over 17,000 deaths.
What? What? Now they have a fourth figure, and the fourth figure is just around 17,000. Not 170, not 150, not 120. 17,000? Here we go.
I'm doing this as a single video because I'm still processing this information. It's really quite profound. Now, this is from a Freedom of Information request. Deaths from COVID-19 with no other underlying cause. In other words, people that were otherwise healthy, that don't have heart disease, that don't have lung disease, that don't have diabetes, and yet died of COVID-19. Freedom of Information request. And the Freedom of Information request was answered by the Office for National Statistics, and you can read the actual report there. Now, this actually came out last month, and I've just discovered it yesterday. That's why I wanted to bring it to you now. There's been no mention of this whatsoever on mainstream media.
I wonder why.
At least on the BBC, sort of ITV, Channel 4 in the UK. And
I wonder why they wouldn't want people to know the real death count. But I wonder why. So maybe because people...
So if you have absolutely no other... This is the argument that he's making. That the real death count is 90% less because we discount the fact that people have other diseases. That people have other maladies. As if...
That like asthma? Some,
yeah, asthma... Whatever it is, high blood pressure, heart disease. I mean, it's basically like saying, well, you know, that guy got hit by a bus, but you can't really count it because he had arthritis and so he was walking slow. So people who walk normally would not get hit by a bus.
They would have cleared that intersection. I thought this guy cared a lot about healthcare and Medicare for all.
Do you remember when you know, 9/11 hit and people were like, well, there's some people in there had cancer. So you can't really count. You can't really count the fact that they are dead.
There's some old people in that building, too, just generally. So
right. No one gives a shit about them.
He also gets the life expectancy wrong in this, too, because it turns out that the average age of people dying, at least in the UK at that time, was something like 81 years old. I don't know what the life expectancy is in England. I imagine it's as high as it is here, maybe higher. But they're not. He's measuring it from birth as opposed to at the age of 65. People who make it to the age of 65 end up living to closer to 84, 85 years old. Maybe women higher, older than that. Because we have such a high death rate at birth in this country for younger people.
It's funny how Jimmy Dore roots to the quarry of this Dr. John Campbell, because Campbell is not reliable, in my opinion. He is pro-vax and pro-mask nominally. You can see a dog with a little mask on in the back. But Dore likes him because he really caters to these sort of like, what are they hiding from you crowd? And he was the guy that Dore got the doctors aren't using the syringe correctly, and that's causing myocarditis. That's where Dore got that from.
It's just unbelievable, but what people will do to make money.
Yeah, and I just want to be clear, too, that...
Well, I've done the whole research by watching a video.
No, he's not even saying he's watching a video. He's saying it's doing a video. Shooting the video is his research process.
No, but I watched a video to do the video.
Oh, well, then he's going above and beyond. This is the guy
that... my sources.
Can you imagine, like, going out there, 150,000 people see that video. You imagine going out there and telling people that COVID's not really dangerous, that people aren't really dying. And how do I know this? How do I feel comfortable telling 150,000 people this? Because I watched a video.
I have another video I just retweeted. People can check out by Dr. Susan Oliver Wan. Dr. John Campbell's video attempting to downplay COVID deaths has gone viral. Alas, my video debunking it probably won't go viral, but hopefully it will guide some people to the truth. So go check that out, folks.
Yeah, and
let's
just
put a link in ours there, too.
And I just want to make this point, too. This is why his usage of Medicare for All is really just a way to shield his sheer immorality and cravenness from his audience and provide himself with some sort of artificial cloak of morality as he advocates for COVID misinformation that kills people. And I don't know if he's aware of this, but COVID's a health issue. And so if you are the healthcare guy, perhaps downplaying numbers for COVID and pretending as if a combination of COVID and a comorbidity doesn't mean that you died from COVID. Like, a lot of people live with their comorbidities for a long time, and how they can do that is if they have Medicare for All, and if they have health care, and if they have access to it. But, like, This is a new thing that's affecting people's health, and I thought that's what Jimmy cared about.
Can you imagine if somebody said, like, if Jimmy Dore went out there and said, you know, 65,000 people die a year because of Medicare for All, and somebody said, well, yeah, but they were sick.
Exactly.
They were sick. They had underlying medical problems.
Yeah.
So that doesn't count.
Downplaying COVID is absolutely not a route to Medicare for All. Here's a Reuters article. Long COVID could become Finland's largest chronic disease, warns the health minister. Like, that's the...
Because Fauci starts with an F. Finland starts with an F. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Is Finland...
But imagine that. Imagine somebody going like, well, you know, actually, I do a video that it's actually, you know, far less people die because they don't have health insurance in this country, and a lot of them have chronic problems that or they were old anyways, or, you know, they would have been hit by a car if they had lived much longer. I mean, it's just like, this is twisted. Really is disgusting. All right, I started today by saying we were going to do a short show.
I know.
We're going to do 20 minutes.
And I don't even know why I don't call you out on it then, because as soon as you say that, I'm like, yeah, sure.
I know.
Sure, we're going to do a short show.
It's like, yeah, Sam sometimes thinking, we might go short with the guest today, and it's always like a 15-minute
interview. One day, if we actually go short, we will tell you.
Yeah. Folks, just a reminder, it's your support that makes this show possible. You can become a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. I will tell you, when we don't do COVID isn't real or anti-vax material, it does not help our numbers. So I should just tell you that. It is our members that make it possible for us not to do things like chase the clicks from the lunatics.
We tell you what you don't want to hear, probably.
Well, no, I mean, I think like a lot of people actually do want to, but it is just far more entertaining for you to believe that this, for people in general, or at least people who are online, that all of this is just it's a secret plot.
Yeah.
It's a secret plot.
And you're the only population that truly understands this evil cabal.
The rest of people are sheeple. They're sheeple. They believe this COVID thing. Oh, my God. Bah.
We're going to get banned for that.
Bah. Where's my,
Is that a slur?
That's my, what do you call it? What's his face? Oh, that's my Jim Brewer thing.
You know, a cockatoo.
Cockatoo. Know me.
I love when I walk into conversations like this and just like...
Yeah, we got ourselves worked up.
Listen, as a Greek person, I'm insulted. Sheep deserve more. It's a very Greek joke, by the way. I don't know if people are going to get it.
It's a Greek valence for sheep.
I just really love their sheep. You know, those mountains can be very lonely. There's a lot of gross sheep jokes.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, there we go. We're going to get demonetized because they won't let the truth about sheep out.
No, we're going to get demonetized because Nomi just told a ethnically offensive joke about Greek people.
I am Greek. I don't know if it's offensive. I'm not offended. I didn't tell the joke. Yeah,
we just tested it out, and you're not offended, so we're good. What's happening on your show these days, Nomi? We missed you last week.
No, I was here last week.
2 weeks ago? Wait.
It was New Year's, and then, yeah. No, I was on last week. I saw your glasses. What? It's okay. You're getting old. It's okay, Sam. We all go through this in our lives. What's on my show today? Okay, so we have Richard Wolf on the show tonight on Rockfin at 8 p.m. and the YouTube. But just want to continue to plug, this Saturday, Matriarch is hosting a free all-day campaign training for working women, all women, and senior staff, if you're interested. Folks who are running, thinking of running, are in office right now and want to run for higher office.
All women, right?
All women. Very inclusive.
No men?
I mean, if No. I mean, if you're a staff member, yes. That's
okay. Okay. Yes.
That's
so,
included.
So, okay. So it's about candidates, but and anybody who's helping women candidates.
Exactly. And you can go to matriarchtraining.com, sign up. We'll follow up with a little form. It's virtual. Great speak. We have Sarah Nelson speaking, Jane McAlevey, Carmen Yulín Cruz, the former mayor of San Juan, Puerto Rico, who's a co-chair for Bernie in 2020. Cynthia Nixon speaking, the former speaker of the City Council of New York, Melissa Mark Viverito, Lucy Flores, so many incredible women. I'm not remembering everybody right now, but everything from the tactics of running to what it means to run as a working person in this environment where campaigns cost a lot of money and the establishment's always trying to, you know, crack down on grassroots organizing. So we give you the insight and also like how to handle smear. A lot of women are faced with a playbook that is repeated over and over, and it's better to be aware of that ahead of time and to fight it. We have a lawyer who's going to be talking about some of the legal sides of campaigns, but it's really fascinating. The people who created Bernie's America ad are going to teach you what, you know, your narrative should be about and how to make a great ad. It's definitely, I'm excited. I'm just going to watch.
and there's no part of the program that is like, we're done with COVID.
No sheeple. Sorry. We believe organizing works a little bit differently.
Well, all right. That makes sense. Okay.
You should stop by, Sam. You can share your lessons. And Emma, like, you know, maybe. You
oh, yeah.
Saul's got a play date. We're actually going skating on Saturday.
Ooh, unless... fun.
Oh, this is Saturday?
Saturday.
Okay.
January 29th.
Maybe I will, yeah.
Fun.
Matt, what's happening in the Matt Lekian media universe?
Yeah, tomorrow night we have Marshall Steinbaum, economist at the University of Utah, on to talk about this myth that relieving student loan debt would be regressive and why there is so much invested in perpetuating that myth. So patreon.com/leftreckoning, folks, check that out.
All right, folks, don't forget, you can get tickets to our Boston show at majoritylive.com. Majoritylive.com. Boston show, May 15th, 2 p.m. What else? Don't forget the AM Quickie, amquickie.com. Sign up, get the newsletter, get the news you can use early in the morning, every day.
I love
in
that
email form.
I'm going to get my family to sign up for it, I think.
And they can also become members of the show at jointhemajorityreport.com.
They can, but, you know. I think they're more likely to read it. Like, no one, they don't listen to this.
All right. Great.
I think my mom is doing both.
Bradley's mom listens.
Yeah, I think my mom is subscribing to the Quickie and becoming a member. So, like my mom.
Wow. Much appreciated.
Got to watch my language.
Yeah. See you in the fun half.
Left is best.
Jamie and I may have a disagreement.
Yeah, you can't just say whatever you want about people just because you're rich.
I have an absolute right to mock them on YouTube.
He's up there buggy whipping like he's the boss.
I am not your employer.
You know, I'm tired of the negativity.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you. You're nervous. You're a little bit upset. You're riled up.
Yeah, maybe you should rethink your defense of that, you fucking idiots.
We're just going to get rid of you.
All right.
But dude.
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 You want to smoke this joint?
Yes.
Do you feel like you are a dinosaur?
Good shit.
Exactly. I'm happy now.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win-win.
Oh, hell yeah.
Now listen to me. 2, 3, 4, 5 times. 847-906-501-457. 2, 38, 56, 27. 1/2, 5/8, 3.9 billion.
Wow.
He's the ultimate math nerd.
Don't you see?
Why don't you get a real job instead of spewing vitriol and hatred, you left-wing Limbaugh?
Everybody's taking their dumb juice today.
Come on, Sammy.
Dance, dance, dance.
Ooh. Grandpa.
I had my first post-coital scene with a woman. I'm hoping to add more moves to my repertoire. All I have is the dip and the swirl.
Fine, we can double dip.
Yes, this is a perfect moment.
No.
Wait, what?
You make under $1 million a year. You're scum. You're nothing.
Excuse me? Fuck you, you fucking liberal elite. I think you belong in jail.
Thank you for saying that, Sam. You're a horrible, despicable person.
All right, gonna take a quick break. I want to take a moment to talk to some of the libertarians out there. Take whatever vehicle you want to drive to the library. What you're talking about is jibber jab.
Classic. I'm feeling more chill already.
Good. Donald Trump can kiss all of our asses.
Hey, Sam. Hey, Andy. You guys ready to do some evil?
Hitler was such an idiot.
I think I might be a Nazi.
Agree.
No.
Death to America.
You.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow, that's weird. No way! Unbelievable. This guy's got a really good hook.
Throw our hands up.
Ooh.
Wow.
But Sam, I gotta get off.
No worries. I wanna just flesh this out a little bit. I mean, look, it's a free speech issue. If you don't like me.
Hey, shut up!
Thank you for calling into the Majority Report. Sam will be with you shortly.